Hey now, welcome back to the Deadology Podcast from a pop-up studio in Portland, Maine. I'm your host, Howard Weiner. Today, April 3rd, 2025, and the topic of this episode, which is Season 3, Episode 7, will be the Providence Civic Center show from 40 years ago, April 4th, 1985, one of the best shows I ever saw. Definitely the best first set I think I ever saw, and a great second set. So looking forward to discussing this with Doug Schmell today. He'll be back on the podcast. We were both there in Providence on that night. The first night in Providence was April 3rd. That was a good show, but man, this second night is just killer. Great show. So what I'm doing in Portland right now, I just went to the Cumberland County Civic Center, which is now the Cross Insurance Arena. Watched the hockey game there on the anniversary of the Portland show, which was also 40 years ago. They played Portland the 31st of March and April 1st. Good shows, but they took a step up in Providence. These are incredible shows. And I'm working on a book. It's going to be like a Grateful Pilgrimage 2, where I'm going back to all these arenas on the 40th anniversary. Such great historic places. Like, I was just at the Nassau Coliseum the week before, and I hadn't been in the Nassau Coliseum in 40 years. So it's, you know, the Grateful Dead brought me there, and they're bringing me back. This is going to be my first time going back to Providence. And, I saw them in 87, so 38 years. So the Grateful Dead definitely showed us, you know, around the world, around the United States, brought us to places we would never be. So that's one of the beauties of going back on the 40th anniversary and kind of retracing what I did all those years ago. Having so much fun out on the road, but more on the book as the year rolls along. I'm also going to cover the summer 85 tours, the 20th anniversary tours in the book. More on that as I get writing. I think I'll be finished by the end of the year, while the anniversary is still here. And let's jump into discussion of the April 4th show. I had a call earlier today with Doug Schmell, and here it is. Ladies and gentlemen, back on the Deadology Podcast, our good friend, one of my best friends, Mr. Doug Schmell. Hey, Doug, thanks for joining us again.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me, Howie. I love your podcast. I love being a part of them. Anything Grateful Dead, I can talk about for hours, my friend.
Yeah, it's a joy, man. And this show is one that I really was looking forward to getting to. Providence, it's the 40th anniversary. I'm going to be in the arena tomorrow night on the 40th anniversary. There's some kind of minor league hockey game going on. you got to do crazy things, even remembering this, how great these shows were. So let me set the stage for Providence. So it's 1985 spring tour. I call this the Helter Skelter tour because the Grateful Dead would be so down at, like, Hampton wasn't that good. And we'd be thinking, like, what the hell are we doing following this band around? Because they were that bad. And then they would come to Springfield and just blow us away with the greatest show with Straw, Sugary. And it was so up and down this tour. But Providence was definitely an upswing.
And so there was a great show at Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
The middle one, yeah.
Yeah, I think the 28th. That was a great show. One of those. Yeah, the 28th. Great show. So there were some up shows for sure on this tour.
And that just shows you the contradiction. Like, at the Nassau, they played three nights. The middle show was a great show. The one before and after was so-so. So this tour kept swinging up and down. But looking at 1985, it was such a consistent year after this tour. But the best shows I saw in 85, all three of them came from this tour. So the best and worst of times. That's why I call it the Helter Skelter tour. Yeah. All right. April 4th, 85, you're in the taping section. And I'm off to Jerry's left, and it's another night with the Grateful Dead, except it's not another night because they kick it off with Alabama Getaway. And what an Alabama Getaway.
Oh, yeah. You know, Howie, I hadn't heard this show in a long time. And when you said, Doug, let's interview for this, you know, April 4th, 1985 show from Providence, you know, it's a little bit out of my, you know, comfort zone because I don't listen regularly to 1985 shows. But it goes to show, you know, you listen to a hot show like this, it brings you back in. Same thing happened with those shows from 78 when we discussed, obviously, MacArthur Court. I was drawn back into 78 quickly. And our most recent show, I think after that, we just discussed.
Swing Auditorium.
That was incredible. We hadn't done a 77 show yet. And, I'll tell you, I'm listening to those years now a lot. This show from 85 has got to be one of the, if, look, overall, it's a very, very good show, but the first set is fantastic.
It's the best first set
Yeah.
I ever saw. I
Yeah,
gotta
the
say that.
second set isn't great. It's good enough, but the first set is phenomenal. It really is. It's got everything you're looking for from that time period. And it starts off, as you mentioned, on a great note. That Alabama Getaway is smoking. The first jam, he's hitting some great notes, but because of the recording, it's a little low, like Jerry's succinct sounds of his guitar get kind of toned out a little. But you could hear him, and then it comes back in, and you're like, wow. Just the very first solo of the night is spot on, for this show. And I'll tell you, Howie, I know we were there. I just don't remember specifically, where I was. I'm sure I was taping it, and I know I have the tape somewhere. But I listened to, I think, a Matrix. It was an audience recording plus a soundboard that they mixed off the Internet Archive, and it sounds great. It
That
sounds really
this tour, they
good.
had a lot of that, a lot of Matrix
Yeah.
soundboards
You
and
get the live ambience, from the audience sound, and I'll tell you, it's great. I love that arena. They're always hot in Providence. It's just like Springfield. Talking about this tour, going back, we probably saw the shows in Coliseum in Hampton. I don't remember them specifically, but I remember that they weren't great. But the shows at Springfield, specifically March 25th, 1985, is an all-time great show. So they really had some momentum building on this tour. And just 9 days later, whatever it is, 10 days later, they really hit it off on this Providence show. The night before, I don't have a memory of, but I'm sure it was a good
It's a
show.
good set list. It didn't go into there was the bad shows from the tour. This wasn't bad, so it was a right footing. It was good and then spectacular. Kind of like Springfield, good,
Right,
spectacular.
right, right. That's spectacular. But this show gets off on the right foot with. And then, back then, I would always expect a greatest story ever told coming out of Alabama, which was at that point kind of a cookie cutter,
Or
get it,
Promised Land, or
right, or something like that, which is good. Promised Land in 85 was probably better than Greatest Story. Greatest
sure.
Story hit its peak in 72, 73, 74, and there's some good ones like God, 79, 217,
Yeah, that
79.
was they
Yeah,
did
I think
one more
that's,
for old time
yeah,
sakes.
exactly. That's before I think Brent, that was
That
what,
was Don
Brent's
and
last
Keith's last
show,
show.
possibly,
Yeah,
or
that was Don and Keith's last
Don
show.
and Keith's last show, yeah, before Brent. But that's a great one. But that was definitely falling in terms of stature in the jamming at the end. So I was expecting, a cookie cutter greatest story, but they go into Jack Straw, and Jack Straw is one of the best ones I've ever seen live. It's great.
Incredible. Yeah, it's kind of like this one from Springfield is pretty great too. The
Oh,
it's
it's amazing.
hard to pick these two apart, but they're both great. Jack Straw's great period for Jack Straw. Also, you got the one from what is it, Irvine 4/13/85,
Correct.
another great Jack
Another
Straw.
hot one. Yeah, I know
But
that one.
not getting off topic here. Before we carry on with the Jack Straw, I'm going to play the end of the Getaway into the Jack Straw because the Jack Straw, even the first solo is extended. It's longer than
Oh, it's
usual.
excellent. Yeah,
And
yeah.
I think this is the best Getaway solo, the last one here, the best one since 79. Like in 1979, when they first came out with it, they played
Oh,
longer
there were
and
some great ones. There's one off the top of my head from like Stanley Theater in Pittsburgh,
great
probably like
one.
1125 or 11. Oh
Oakland
my God.
1226 is great. That Dick's Picks
Correct. He's
five.
hitting some incredible notes on those. This one is probably, yeah, up there in the top five. Definitely the best from 70 after 79.
85 for sure.
Yeah, I
So
would agree with that.
let's quickly check out that Getaway into that first solo from the Jack Straw, and we'll continue. And then we'll continue.
Yeah. Said, why don't we give him rubbing up to hang himself? No need to worry the jury, they'll probably take care of themselves. Alabama, get away, get away. Alabama, get away, get away. Only way to please me, doesn't matter, even walk away.
Alabama,
what we gotta use, cause we gotta share all of mine.
Great stuff. You could just tell Garcia's on a mission. I was at the show and that they played Getaway. They played Straw. I was freaking jumping up and down. It's so exciting. It was so exciting to the band in the moment. You could just tell the way they're playing.
Oh, absolutely. Seeing a Straw live, you know, especially, you know, when they're doing it, you know, during their, you know, better streaks, you know, I'll tell you, there's some great Straws from this time period. You mentioned the one from Springfield. That song just really took off, you know.
Yeah.
Specifically, 84. There's some
great
ones.
Oh, my God.
Ones.
Obviously, the Syracuse Straw.
Oh, my God. 10-20, 84 is phenomenal. Isn't there a great one? Is that the Sanger Theater I'm thinking of?
That's 1980. That's the October 19th.
Oh, yeah,
19th,
yeah, yeah.
Man. That's beautiful. You turned me on to that. That one's beautiful.
That one's amazing. Yeah, Sanger Theater. That's in, I think, Louisiana, right? New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans. I actually saw Al Green in that theater. So.
Wow. That's awesome. But I'll tell you. What a great opening for a show, you know. I've seen, you know, some great stuff, some great, you know, I've seen over 300 shows in my career. I've seen a lot in my touring career. Seen a lot of great openers. You don't get much better than Alabama into Jack Straw's a 1-2 punch. You
and
know?
The way they played it, not just that they played it. Jerry was on a freaking mission. It was as if the band, the whole tour, they knew that they'd mess up one night, they would go the extra mile the next night.
Correct.
It was such a
Correct.
Bizarre tour, man. But it produced, it's worthwhile. It's like, you know, if you're watching a sports team dominate and they win every game and it's not interesting.
Right.
You know, it's more interesting when it's a little on and off. It makes the on moments more powerful.
And it gives you something to look forward to. You know, if the night before was a little off, you figure the next night they're going to blaze. You know, I'll tell you, I don't know whether they're better at an opening night at a venue or the closing night. You know, that goes into the conversation, you know, but they were certainly better on this closing night than they were opening night. You know, going back over the years, you know, you think of certain openings and closings of tours and venues. And, you know, it's hard to pick. Well, they better when they open or they close.
This,
you know,
this tour, when they closed, you know? I think, is the definite correct answer because they did Springfield was the last night. This was the last night in Providence. The last night in Philly was by far the best.
The last night in Irvine, I think, is the better show, too, I believe, on the 50. Yeah.
They're settled in. Everything's rolling right. Hey,
That Frost Amphitheater show. There's the 18th of April that kind of ended this tour before they went to the Greek Theater, which I wound up seeing for their, you know, that was their 20-year anniversary. Those are some great shows. Funny, of that little three-legged tour, you know, they did those three shows. The middle one is probably the best one, June 16th, 85.
Wasn't that the last one? I thought it was the 14th, 15th,
16th. Oh, you know, you're right. It is the last one.
There we go. It proves the theory that we're developing on the fly here.
That last one is a great one. There's a Midnight Hour, but there's a Cryptical, and I think it was the second one, or is it the first
The
one?
first one, and it's a smoking
It's
other one,
great.
man.
Great stuff.
That's the best other one they played in a long time. The other one in that
Fantastic. They did A
Cryptical.
Comes a Time, too. It's just great stuff. So anyway, so going back, they're really on a roll. They do the Alabama Jack Straw, both songs, it takes up about 15 minutes. A great way to open up a show. The crowd's into it, Everybody's, settling into their seats and whatnot. And then you get a Dire Wolf. I like Dire Wolf in the third spot.
This
It's
one,
just
it's like quick, but it's snappy, it's poppy, which I like, man.
exactly.
It's one of my favorite versions. By the way, this is where we differ. I've listened to this tape probably 1,000 times since you last listened to it. This is like one of my favorites. I listen to it all the time, so I
Oh,
know it
that's
inside out.
amazing. I hadn't heard. For me, I like listening to a lot of the official releases because of the sound quality. This one I just listened to off re-listen, off the archive, and it sounds great. But if I had it on CD, which I'm sure I do, I'm sure you gave it to me, my 85 section just isn't very handily. It's 72, 73, 74. I know where all those CDs are. They're all in chronological order. They're very easy to access. 1985, I somewhat put on the back burner, but a show like this, I'm going to try to remedy because this show, getting off to the start like this, I'm going to want to listen to more shows from 85, But yeah, getting back, Direwolf, and then I love El Paso, and this El Paso
The
is
best.
fabulous with a great middle jam. The middle
This is my
jam is
favorite El Paso.
engaging,
Yeah, I love it.
beautiful. It's
We're
excellent.
singing it perfectly at the end. Jerry's hitting all
Correct.
the notes. The key, re Jerry is so excited this show. You could just tell every song he's taken,
Oh,
like
yeah.
totally seriously. Like I got something to prove tonight, man. That's
It's funny. I haven't seen that many great live El Pasos. The ones I like, again, are from 72, 73, where Jerry, I think, is always hitting
A
those
lot of quick
beautiful
picking
notes.
stuff.
But I saw a great one on probably my third show. Your first show was 3981 Madison Square Garden. There's a great El Paso where they do hit some beautiful notes in that middle jam. That middle jam only came probably starting in the early 80s or end of the 70s. I do not remember them doing that prior to like 79, 80. By 81, they were starting to do it. But this one is great. There's a minute and change middle jam where Jerry's just hitting some beautiful notes, I miss that, I miss seeing that. I love El
Hey,
Paso.
if we've uncovered one thing, not uncovered, but if we've determined one thing to be true is on this podcast is that Jerry's a show off.
Oh he's
<That
showing off in that. Here's a Marty Robbins tune, that was famous back in the day, and I'm gonna do, my interpretation of it, and it's great. There's never been an El Paso with that kind of jam in the middle that I can
and Bobby
remember.
singing at the end is just
Oh, the
awesome,
singing's
man.
great. Yeah, I know he's into it. So that's
From
just that.
Don't Murder Me to a murder ballad,
Yeah, exactly. Four songs in, this is an excellent show. And then, you know what? Could this be the highlight of the first set? She Belongs to Me. The first one they did since 1966. This is the tryout version, and they nail it.
By the way, where did you get the 1966? I haven't confirmed that I haven't heard that on CD. I think that might be a mistake. I think this actually might be the first one.
Purportedly, from different sources, they indicate, if I can get you the date, let
I
me
think it was
see.
1766 Matrix.
1-7, January 7th, they say.
Right, but I don't. There's no recording of it. I don't think it actually happened. I'm not positive about that.
Oh, yeah, you're skeptical. I get that. Let me see. It purportedly that show, there's a lot of shows in 66. Oh my God. And then, to see a show in 66 would have been mind-boggling, But yeah, supposedly it was from The Matrix, and they have the set list.
It's
And
a
yeah, it's typical from the time period. It's a Sin, Sick and Tired, Mindbender, love Mindbender, On the Road Again, and then She Belongs to Me.
does
So
the
it's
does a
possible
tape of
somebody
that
has a
exist?
tape of that.
Does a tape of that exist? Do you
Potentially,
know?
I don't have it, but I think it does. So yeah, from all accounts, this is the second She Belongs to Me they ever played. Obviously they were whipping out a lot of songs from 1985, a lot of new stuff. Smokestack Lightning came back, as we know. There's a lot of songs that they brought back, Bobby and Jerry songs, So it's nice to see.
After we finish our interview, I'll have a definitive on whether this is the first one or the second one. But hey, it's the first time they played it in 19 years, so it's that was another lifetime. The
oh, for sure, and it's a great version, Howie. I listened to this just before the interview, just to get my head back on it, because I heard it first on Tuesday, and it's fabulous. You
I
know,
love
the,
it.
He flubs the lyrics a little, but big deal.
Definitely,
he
that's the only negative of this. She belongs.
I
to
know
me.
The lyrics are incredible. You got to get Bob Dylan. I mean, you would know better than me, but was he singing this about a particular woman that he was in love with? Because
it was probably a couple in his life going on, you know, Jones, Sarah. He had all kinds of women. So you could,
of course,
have,
of course.
Yeah.
It's just amazing, you know, like with the Egyptian ring, you know, spark when she speaks. There's just
unbelievable,
some
man.
Depth to the lyrics that I love, you know.
Getting it to Dylan, nobody could explain it. Nobody could even, you know, pinpoint it on anything. It's just a genius.
Oh, for sure. And Jerry nails it. If it was a Bob song and Bob sang it, it wouldn't have the same
try to sing it exactly like Dylan.
Correct.
Where Jerry does his own thing with it.
Exactly. And there's two solos. The first one's nice and beautiful, kind of shorter. The second one is extended and is fabulous.
Yep.
That second solo, he hits some great notes, Howie. He captures the essence of this song on that second solo.
I love it. I didn't know the song at the time. I got into Dylan about 87, where I was a freak, where I got into everything. But at the time, I didn't know it. But I think somebody mentioned that it was a Dylan song to me. But this, She Belongs to Me, they played it 9 times. This is the first one in 85. And this is easily the best one. It's quick. The other ones, they slowed down and made it like almost like a ballad. This one is quick, man. Like Garcia was on a roll.
It's only about 7 minutes or so, but he hit some great notes. I love the singing. It's just such a great song.
Yeah, really, the only thing is the vocal.
I can't believe
flubs.
They only did
Besides
it nine
that,
times.
It's perfect. Besides the vocal flubs, it's perfect. It's
right. And you could excuse the vocal flubs because he catches himself as he says it, because he realized, okay, and then he goes right back to the correct lyric, you know. So for that, I could give him a pass.
Yeah.
He's never saying it. If he did, it was 19 years before, if he was, in fact, the one who sang it. So we've got that. I'll tell you, that to me, that's a highlight, if not the highlight of the first set.
And then, like, he brought it back to the – they worked on it. They got it down perfectly, but definitely slower. So it's this version's the best. I love it.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm up there with you. I don't know that many other versions offhand. I know I've seen one in concert. I saw one that
Rochester,
was close to me, maybe, and then a U.S. Blues encore, I believe.
Oh.
Trying to remember what show that was. I'll look it up.
I don't think I was at that one, but we saw it in Rochester in 85, November 7th or 8th, one of those shows.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. 85 was the year for it. Wow, I'll tell you. I had to confirm it again, Howie, so I listened to it right before this interview, within this past hour that we're now talking, maybe 40 minutes ago. I just couldn't believe how hot it was. It was beautiful. And I left on the recording to listen to the Brother Esau, which is actually very good.
It's good, that song.
I never hear Brother Esau because I don't really, you know, commonly listen to shows from this era. But I'll tell you, it's a good one. It really is.
But for an
they
Esau.
Started Esau in what, 82, 83, probably? 83,
yeah. I'd have to 83, say. I think, was the first.
Correct.
I think we called it a box eclipse or.
Right, the box eclipse, yeah. And it's a good one. And I'll tell you, man, after Esau, there's a great Friend of the Devil.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Howie, the notes at the end, the Friend of the Devil, my God, are phenomenal.
This show's almost too much, man, because we're naming songs here, but every song just is like ripping. It's like if it's not the best version you've ever heard, it's pretty close. And I couldn't put this number one, but it's definitely in like the top seven Devils. It's good.
I can't remember a better one that I've seen in concert. I saw a great one my first ever show. Was at the
Spectrum.
That one's
pretty hot, yeah.
That's a great one. You know, 83080 is a fabulous. This one is as good, if not better. I mean, the notes at the end when Jerry, he just gets into those beautiful, when he's soloing and he's nailing the theme of the song itself, you know? He does that in so many songs, you know, where he nails the theme of the song. He does it perfectly on this Friend of the Devil.
Yeah, and the band was really on because Brent's solo was beautiful leading into
it. Oh, yeah, excellent.
Yeah,
I just heard this after the Esau, literally not even an hour ago, and I couldn't believe how good this Friend of the Devil. I heard it 2 days ago, but just to confirm how good it was, I was like, "Oh my God!"
There's no let up in this set.
This is a great. This is seven songs in, and they're seven for seven. You know, there was no weak spot of this first set. You know, and to end the first set, oh my God, the Sailor Saint Deal.
Jesus.
What an incredible combination, Howie.
Yeah.
Better than a sweet and sour pork or pho with
Yeah.
fried rice and an egg roll, which is one of my
Eight
favorite combinations, you know?
Yeah. I go for the lobster sauce combo, but I'll take this combo over either one, man.
Sailor Saint deal, I'll tell you. Now, I think off, you know, top, we spoke about a show that I recently got, you know, from Jeff Morgenthau. Thank you, Jeff. This is a shout out to Jeff Morgenthau, big deadhead, who got me a right from Mark Pincus, who works for Rhino, a copy of the 11:30-80 show from the Fox Theater in
That's
Atlanta.
a great,
And that
yeah.
show is fabulous with a great, I'll say it again, a great, fabulous Sailor Saint deal to end the first set. That was probably the best Sailor Saint deal I've ever heard. And I told you that probably was the first deal that they ever did the extended solo on as
Yeah.
the Dead, unlike the Jerry Garcia band. This one is
Destroys it, destroys any Sailor Saint deal pretty much.
right. If not as good, if maybe better than the one from 1980, it's right there. The Sailor is great with great singing from Bobby, and he talks about freedom at the end. It's just
Yeah,
beautiful,
and
really.
the cool thing about the Sailor, Phil was a big fan of this tape. You know, Phil,
Of
a
course.
good friend of ours, Phil Hyman.
Oh, I love Phil. Hey, shout out to Phil out there.
I think this was like his second show or something. So we used to listen to this tape all the time.
Isn't
So,
he from Boston or that
yeah,
area? So, right, it makes sense that would have been his second first show. You know, he's from that area.
yeah.
He
So
was
we
a
got.
Red Sox fan, I remember.
Well, I guess if you're Boston, why not, man? Jump on that bandwagon.
Right,
Bruins and Celtics. They got
Patriots.
pretty good sports teams. But hey, so Sailor, it's going along, and we're about ready to turn into the Saint. And Jerry's like, not so quickly. He hits some chords and redirects it so that they
Correct.
extends the Sailor. It's pretty
They
cool.
do additional singing and a little a solo at
Yeah,
the end.
Jerry's like, who's in charge here? I know it's your
Correct. That
song, but
was
we're gonna.
unbelievable. I was a bit, so I'm going for lunch. I'm purposely listening to the Sailor so I can have the Saint of Circumstance into deal, 16 minutes, whatever it was, for my drive home. So I wanted to listen to that. But the Sailor took so long, I was like, what the fuck? I couldn't
Yes.
put my
Yeah.
car off and go eat lunch because of that, like you just mentioned. Jerry continues the singing with a little jamming right before the turnover into Saint of Circumstance. And it's great. I've never seen that before or heard that
Yeah.
before. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's like we were trying to cut it a little too short, going for the
Correct.
same turnover.
Correct.
And
And Jerry's
Jerry's
like,
like,
I'm not, son, we'll have none of that. I'm in charge. This is my band. We will continue Lost Sailor until I say
you're
so.
gonna have to regroup and come up with some more falsetto singing and.
And
Well,
he
then
does.
we'll
It's
go.
funny. But then they turn it over into the Saint of Circumstance, and what a great
Oh
version,
my
you know?
God.
You can't always or just judge a Saint of Circumstance by the ending jam, you know? The singing is important to me, you know, the phrasing. I love the middle jam, and I just love the way the other band members interact on it. And this one's great, you know? Fabulous, I'll tell
Yeah.
you.
If
And
I,
it's got the great ending jam.
oh my
Great
God,
ending
yeah.
jam. Fabulous.
Even after the shorter know what I'm going for, even at the very end when they're going into deal, it's like smoking the
Oh, it's
very ending of
smoking
it. It's
hot. Yeah,
crazy.
yeah.
So yeah,
It's hard to
hey, at
beat.
this point let's check that out. We got a couple more first set highlights.
Oh, for
Let's hear
sure. This is the
that's
first, this is a highlight. Yeah. Play that Saint of
Enjoy.
Circumstance.
I'm still walking, so I'm sure that I can dance. It's the Saint of Circumstance. Just a tiger and a trance. And the rain falling down now. Rain falling down, rain falling down.
right. So they're smoking red hot green lights, and Jerry just hops right at the deal, man. It's
yeah, you know what? It wouldn't have been the end of the world if they stopped at the Sailor Saint. You know, nobody would have complained.
Oh, it would have been great. One of the great first sets.
Still been
we
an
seen.
Unbelievable first set, but they go into deal, and I'll tell you, it's not the longest deal. You know, it's a 7 minutes and change, but boy, it's just got focus. It's got power. It's got the unbelievable
hunger.
Jerry jam at the end. It's got hunger. It's for people from Hungary. They like it there in Budapest. But I'll tell you, Howie, this deal is one of the better ones you will ever hear or see. It's
insane, man.
He really hit some great notes. And then when you think he's done, there's another line of these great notes before he finally says, you know, enough. You know, I've done my part.
In most deals, he'll do like a trajectory. He keeps getting hotter and hotter, and eventually it peaks. And some of them are great, and there might be a better one or two, but this one is just insane. It's so different. I mean, I've heard this. I replayed this so many times.
Yeah, you've got me on that count because I've only heard it a couple of times, and I did hear it twice. I heard it too,
and you love
now.
It just from hearing it a couple of times. You're like, yeah, it's undeniable.
Oh, it's amazing.
So Jerry does like three different thoughts during this deal. He comes out almost too hot in the beginning, and
he hits peak notes right away.
He never hit peak notes like that right away in the deal before. So he's like, okay, I got to redirect this whole thing. So somehow he magically gets the whole band to kind of like come in a new direction, and he peaks again, and still it's still a little quick if he would have ended it then. So he came back a third time, and each time is hotter.
That's the third time that you're referring to really caught me off guard, because I thought it would have been over. That there's some unbelievable notes in that. We'll call it
Don't you let that deal go down. Wait till that deal.
First movement's great, like you said, right out of the box. He's hitting some great notes. That second movement is beautiful too. Oh my God, how does he think of these? Again, I've said this before on other interviews we've done for shows. It amazes me how he thinks of this stuff
Yeah,
just as he goes along,
how you hit a peak and then break it down and
then
build it
break
up
it down
again
and hit
is,
another peak.
yeah.
It's pretty amazing, you know. So many guitarists probably struggle to find, that sort of nirvana,
Just hit the peak first, let alone
Right,
do a
right.
three. I've never heard an instrumental like this where it's compact, yet he hits three peak moments and three off of
Correct.
three different ideas.
Within
It's
maybe just 4 minutes, less than 4 minutes. He only jams for about 3 minutes and change, but it's incredible. It's focused. There's no detour. He definitely slows it down, brings it back up. And those to me are the movements, three separate distinct movements in this Deal Jam that are just unbelievable. Really. I couldn't believe it. I'm listening. It's like, fuck, Howie knows what he's talking about. Because this first set, because that's what you were focusing on when you said, Doug, you got to hear Providence
This is my
485.
favorite, I think the best first set I ever saw. I mean,
Oh, it's
African
up
Ballet
there.
82, there's some good ones,
Yeah,
but this might
I've
be the
got the
best.
benefit of seeing, 830-80, which was a fabulous first set, But
Yeah.
I didn't see the whole thing because we were late getting in. I walked in during Friend of the Devil. So I think I missed the first, two songs. I think this might have, Devil might have been the third or the fourth song, whatever. Fourth, I think. Yeah, because they opened up Feel Like a Stranger. But this, pound for pound, is just an incredible, I
Yeah.
mean, to me, amazing. What's it, a 10-song first
Yeah,
set?
you
It's
get getting
beyond
everything.
belief.
You're getting things you expect, things you don't expect. You're getting the break out of She Belongs to
Oh,
Me.
yeah, which is
It's
incredible. Yeah, so to cap this first set, A plus, 100 points.
yeah.
You can't deny that this is a perfect, perfect first set. If you did go through with your book on, perfect sets, remember you were going to just
Yeah.
list sets that were, for, this would have easily been in your book,
Yeah.
from
Yeah.
first song, from Getaway to Deal, amazing,
Yeah,
especially Jerry,
it's brilliant. So yeah, let's dig into set two. There's not as great, but I was surprised because the first set I listened to 100 times for every time I listened one time I listened to the second set.
Oh,
So the
amazing.
second set was kind of new to me as I was listening to it. Opens up, I Need a Miracle. Quick funny story is they break into Crazy Fingers. They hadn't played Crazy Fingers since October 8th, 1983 in Richmond,
That is correct.
and we were both
It
at that
was two
show.
years, almost 2 years.
The reason this happened, and I have evidence. I spoke to the guy today. It's a guy I know, Mark McHugh, a taper from the Morning Dew board. A great bunch of guys before there was Facebook and all that. We used to get together and trade CDs and all this stuff. That's how I got so many of those CDs. And Mark was at this show. He met Jerry before the show. Met guys from the band. He actually has a picture of him and Jerry. So
Holy
this
shit.
is why I can never doubt what he said. And
Did he?
he asked them to play Crazy Fingers. They hadn't played in a year and a half.
Oh, right,
So
right.
not
That's why
only
it's so off in the beginning. And that's why
they weren't ready for it, but
they stumble onto
it
it after Miracle. It's
just think of that.
insane.
We never met Jerry. Imagine if we met Jerry and had the balls to ask him to play a
Oh,
song.
yeah, that would have been incredible. But
And he
Jerry
played
is
it.
such a great guy. He probably thought, hey, why not? This
We
guy
haven't done
wants,
this in a
what's he
while. Yeah, I
doing?
was
A big
right.
deadhead?
The
Haven't
kid's
played in a
right.
year and a half. I love the song. Hey, I may fuck up the lyrics, which of course he does, but it comes off nice. By the end, they're really on the main theme of it and they're doing it correctly. The
And they brought it
beginning has
back.
some warts, but it's funny. When you look back at these kind of shows, a lot of times the first sets are superior to the second sets. Because at this era, for me, they were rushing a lot of the songs in the second sets. It
Very up
seemed
tempo,
like,
yeah.
right, they were just trying to get to the next song. Now, the Miracle's actually hot, but it's only 3 minutes and change because they're just at that point ready to get into the next song. And I'm sure Jerry was champing at the bit to try to get into the Miracle, like get into the
Fingers, yeah.
Crazy Fingers,
They didn't
like
do
he
much with the
promised
Miracle
this
jams at
guy,
this point, they're
Right. So if this was a regular I Need a Miracle, it could have been 6, 7 minutes with a nice extended jam.
which
But of
they didn't
course,
do in
they
this
cut it
period, yeah.
short. Yeah. Another couple of songs from this second set, they have the same exact thing. Around and Around is only 3 minutes because they're rushing to get into Love Light. So
Did you
that's
hear the
my
Samson?
look. So that's my
Samson was
only.
hot.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to talk about the
Go
Samson.
ahead.
But just to, as an overall view from somebody who loves 72, 73, 74, they never rushed into. I just heard, Howie, on my trip, I went to Sarasota last week. I listened to 5372 Olympia Theater again. I've heard that show. They don't rush into anything. And the second set jam sequence, it's incredible. Trucking, Other one, drums. Other one, me and Bobby McGee back into the other one for the third time. The reprise is insane. Into Wharf Rat. Back then, they would never rush into anything. They took their time. They had the time. Jerry was 29 years old. Now, 1985, it's a little different era, and I get that. That's, to me, my only real criticism of the band, that they would just rush too quickly sometimes, blow off the ending of a song, ending jam, to get into the following song, you know?
Yeah.
So
It's,
that's my big criticism of the Dead.
When you've been playing it for so many years, you lose the love that you had for it when you
of
first.
Course.
There's no way
I
a
get
band
that
that can't happen. And you
I
mentioned
get that.
Paris.
So,
I think they're playing for Cardinal Richelieu on that day. Cardinal
if
Richelieu.
you haven't heard that Paris show in a while, Howie, oh my God.
It's, yeah, unbelievable.
Look, you've got 4/8. We know that show well, London. The Dark Star, Sugar Magnolia, Caution. One of the greatest hours of music any band has ever done live. Well, to me, the 5372 from Paris is right there. Those might be the
And
two greatest
Bickershaw.
jam sequences they've ever done. Trust me on that. If you haven't heard it in a while, put it on. You will die laughing. The other one is insane. But getting back to 1985, you know, this miracle is actually hot, but then you could see them winding down, and that's when they go into the Crazy Fingers, and that's when all kind of hell breaks loose and there's a lot of confusion and chaos. But give them an A-plus for attempting to do a song they haven't played in a year and a
First
half.
time in a year
It's
and a half.
amazing. Truly
And
amazing.
they brought it back into the rotation because of that.
Exactly. And I love it. Look, I love Crazy Fingers. I listened
Great
actually
tune, man.
to 8/13/75 recently, about a month ago. That's the Great American Music Hall. That's when they were actually playing for a select audience, trying to turn people onto their new album, Blues for Allah. It was all executives from the industry, you know, big wigs from record labels and whatnot, and they nailed it, as you know how great that show is. And that, to me, is the greatest Crazy Fingers I've ever seen. Jerry hits every note and every lyric perfectly.
They did
Now,
it nice
this
and
one,
slow.
this one's a little different. He doesn't nail the lyrics. It's been a year and a half. But I was singing along, and I was able at least to help Jerry out when I was listening to this in the car, because I knew the lyrics, and I was like, oh, okay, Jerry, just keep, and he somehow gets
Hang
the
in there,
lyrics,
buddy.
you know? I helped him out in my car. So besides the lyrics and the confusion in the beginning, you know, I'll give them an A for effort on this, you know, because they nail it, you know, they hit the crazy fingers as it should be.
And then they rocked it right into Samson, man. It's
Oh my God,
hot
that's
Samson.
Samson's hot. Now, this is the last song, Howie, I heard before the interview. I told you, I heard this She Belongs to Me, The Friend of the Devil, and I knew the Sailor Saint deal. So I went to the second set, listened to that Samson again. Oh my God, he hit some incredible notes. And that, especially that last jam.
Oh, yeah, at the
yeah,
very
he,
end.
he's going off. Especially there's a nice fanning for about 6 seconds
I
right
heard that
before
as I
the
was driving
ending.
down Main Mall Street here in Portland, Maine.
Almost,
I was
almost knocked over a shopkeeper, you know?
a tobacconist stand.
A tobogganist or a tobacconist?
Tobacconist.
Somebody was on their sled. So you got that Samson and Delilah. And then, you know, look, I don't know what people say of He's Gone. I don't care what era He's Gone is from. I love He's Gone. Now, I
Good
know some
version,
of them
man.
don't have the jamming that they do circa 73, 74, started doing it in 72. God, you want to hear an unbelievable jam at the end of He's Gone? Try 12/14/72. That's from the Long Beach Arena in Long Beach, California. Oh, my God. It's like a 15-minute He's Gone
Wow,
with
I
a
gotta dig that one out,
beautiful,
man. Wow.
beautiful jam at the end. Now, this one, they're singing the lyrics, is really no jam, but I still love that He's Gone. I just love it. It's almost 10 minutes, and it's one of my favorite Jerry ballads.
Fourth song of the second set, and we're going to get a fifth one before drums. So it's
right. So He's Gone would have been a perfect song to launch into drums, but they go into Going Down the Road. Very, very uncommon at this point. Now, have they ever done a Going Down the Road before drums before? I saw one.
A
Of course,
couple
there's one from the
times.
Europe 72 tour. At the end, 5/26/72, they closed the first set with Not Fade Away, Going Down the Road, Not Fade Away, historical. But when I saw them in Buffalo, 9/26/81, Howie, that
Estimated
was a
he's
Going
gone.
Down the Road also before drums.
Estimated going down the road, yeah.
Correct. It's great. This one is also one of the very rare ones that they'll do before drums. And this one caught me by surprise.
Me
I told
too.
You, I was taking a walk around the neighborhood with Blossom, my dog, listening to the music, walking Blossom, and he's hitting these notes and going down the
Who,
road.
Blossom?
What are you doing? Stop. Stop walking. I got to hear this. You know, I got to focus. So it was incredible. Really, he does maybe five rounds of the jam, and he's hitting these notes like I'm like, what the hell? This
When
is
I was listening to it,
85.
like I said, I hadn't heard this second set in a while, and I'm listening to it, and it sounds real speedy, like I'm gonna not like it. It's going too quick at first, and it seems like they're throwing it away.
Right.
But then Garcia charges into like a nice jam, and then they finish, and then
Then
instead
they
of ending
finish, and
it,
there's 4 minutes left.
there's another like 7 minutes. It was a
They
more,
they hit a bluesy jam, and then they stop.
Garcia
It's
goes off, then
great.
it's like a caution thing, and it's the quote by surprise, the best thing, because you've never expected that.
Right,
And
there's a
we were at the
caution.
show, but
Hey, speaking of caution, I think we only have less than 5 minutes left, so maybe we should try.
oh,
So
probably
then you
less than
got,
that.
yeah, you got the probably less. We got the drums in the space. The drums are actually great. It's funny. I heard the drums. I'm still Walking Blossom at this point. I'm like, these are as good a drums as I've ever heard. They're focused. And then the space, listening to the space with about 30 seconds left in the space, I heard the hints of the wheel.
Yep,
It's
I know what you're
great.
talking about.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it was
I didn't have
beautiful.
to
I'm
look at
like, oh,
the
there it
set
is.
list. Yeah.
That telltale note. And then they go into the wheel. The wheel is great, you know, and the Black Peter is actually really good. Now,
It's a great
again,
tune, yeah.
the jamming at the end is truncated. It's not as long as I would
They had to
like.
hop into Around and Around,
Right,
and
because that's it. They're focused on what they're going into next. Again, my only real complaint of this era. But the Around and Rounds was hot for about 3 minutes and change. But hey, to give credit where credit is due, this is one of the better Bobby Love Lights
it
they've ever
is the
come out.
jamming, Garcia, because
It's
Jerry's
excellent.
jamming on
It's
it
excellent.
is
It's probably in the
incredible.
top three Bobby Love Lights they've ever done. And they hit great notes, and it's about 8 minutes and change, and it's a great way to end a show. It
Garcia
really
has
is.
two hot solos in that Love Light, which you usually
Oh,
don't get.
excellent, excellent.
Yeah.
And then you got the US Blues Encore. So the second set is clearly not as good as the first. It's short.
Hey, Doug, thanks for joining us on the podcast. As usual, the Zoom call cuts out, but we made it through pretty much through the whole show there. US Blues Encore. So just to recap, that first set, just about every song in that first set is close to a best ever version or one of my favorites. You very rarely get a set where like every song, you know, Jerry is just hitting a home run on every single song. Great creativity. Second set, they gave it a good run in the second set too. The only after drums is not spectacular, but they did play a good Love Light. There's no doubt about that. And an awesome night in Providence. And every day, like it's tomorrow is going to be Groundhog Day for me because I'm going to the Providence Civic Center. I'm going to hear the show again. And I was listening to also the show before April 3rd. In Providence, that's a pretty good show too, man. Hot Let It Grow to end the first set, but yeah, they really had it going on, and perhaps a hot morning dew or something like that might have put this as the greatest show I've ever seen. It was pretty close, but one I'll never forget that I listen to all the time, man. That first set I hear at least 20 times a year. It's just one of those go-to shows for me, and. Yep, I'll be going to it again tomorrow night in the Providence Civic Center. I think the building has a different name, but we don't need to promote whatever naming rights the building has. It's the Providence Civic Center. The Springfield Civic Center is that, whatever company puts their name on it don't mean nothing. They're just naming rights. So Providence Civic Center tomorrow, and then I'm headed to where the Philly Spectrum was. I'm gonna head down to Philadelphia. There is no Spectrum there anymore, but just to keep the pilgrimage rolling. The last three shows were in the Philly Spectrum. This was such a unique tour. It produced three of my all-time favorite shows that I listen to a lot: Springfield 325/85, Providence 4485. And the Philly Spectrum, the last show of the tour, is brilliant. April 8th, 1985. And that wraps up this week's podcast. Everybody, thanks for listening. I'm your host, Howard Weiner. Website, tangledupintunes.com. Got an acoustic Jerry show for you next week, ready to roll. Gonna be back strong next week. And to close out the outro here, we're gonna play that Going Down the Road from the 4485 Providence show. And like we were talking about earlier, very quick version, very fast-paced. As I was listening to it, I'm like, it sounded like a kind of throwaway version. They're trying just to go through it as quickly as possible, but not on this night, man. Jerry comes through with a great instrumental, and then after they do the singing, they go off on another one, which goes on for about 6-7 minutes, and just great stuff, typical of what happened this night in Providence. So enjoy the entire Going Down the Road as the outro. Until I speak to you next week, peace out.
Thank you.